broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Oh, look at that, man. We have, if you're looking on Phil TV in HD, this is a piece of film that I found of the city of Los Angeles at night in the 40s. It's color film, and it's someone who was just shooting the street. And I think it's B-roll, it's stock footage that they used in motion pictures.
Well, you can tell from all of those cars that it's the 40s or something.
How old are those cars?
I just said the 40s.
The 40s, probably, bud. I don't know. But there's one coming up here that's pink. You see this pink car? Who's the guy that drove that?
Probably it's the only way you could be gay in those days.
The only way you could be gay?
Yeah, probably the only way to let people know you're gay. You drove around a pink car.
I don't know, man, but there was a pink car there somewhere. So in any event, let's get over to the El Pacifico there so I don't feel too completely weird. Yesterday on television was quite an event. Was it yesterday or the day before? That was yesterday, wasn't it? It was Nick Wallenda, and he was walking across the Grand Canyon on that wire. And I don't know if you heard that he was planning on doing this. I'd seen the ads coming up on Discovery, and it was live on the Discovery Channel in the late afternoon. But the sun was, because of the summer months, the sun was still very prominent in the sky. And here is this guy I don't know a hell of a lot about. I've heard the Wallenda name. You know, Margaret?
Well, the Wallenda name is known down through the ages, the flying Wallendas. They were known in the circus tents around the world. Around the world. Any circus tent you went into, you were sure to see a Wallenda flying through the air and doing the graceful things they did.
Any circus tent?
Just about any circus tent.
Well, I mean...
the Wallendas, Phil. The Wallendas. Okay?
Yeah, the Wallendas, the flying Wallendas.
Yes.
Did they fly?
Three guesses. What a jackpot.
No, they didn't fly, but they were trapeze artists.
Oh.
That's what flying Wallenda meant. They would fly through the air, and you know the song, he goes through the air with the greatest of ease, the flying young man on the trapeze.
Well, I know there's a lot of, and I don't mean to be crude. I don't mean to be crude or anything.
What happened to you?
What happened, bud?
Something got stuck in my throat.
Probably your words.
No, but when you say on a trapeze, I saw a girl do that one time up at San Francisco on Columbus.
And we're not talking about that. Trapeze.
In the circus, you circus act. The circus.
Oh.
And so the song goes, he flies through the air with the greatest of ease. I don't know how it goes, but
the flying young man on a the flying young man on a big time trapeze.
Big time trapeze. No, he flies through the air with the greatest of ease. The daring young man on the something or other.
The trapeze, the something or other.
But that wasn't about the Wallendas.
It might as well have been, because when you talk trapeze and you talk Wallenda, the only other name that is going to come up is whoever this girl is that Bud's talking about on a trapeze. You're talking about a strip bar, though, so there is no name.
All right, let's forget about the strip bars. So, the Wallendas. Now, the great-grandfather died in an accident, and I don't know his name.
Well, I think it was the Wallendas were originally from Eastern Europe.
Right.
And it was something like Igor. You can say Igor. I'm sure no one will care.
No, I'd like to get the man's name right, Margaret, if you don't mind. He died in an accident.
It was the great-great-grandfather. It was a long time ago. Igor or Kurt. It's generally Kurt.
No, I don't know.
Well, I do.
No, you don't know Igor or Kurt.
It was something like that.
The man died in... this is a family that has made the trapeze, the high wire act, famous. And the Flying Wallendas, of course, well-known in circuses throughout Europe. The family came to America. There's a branch of the family in America. Maybe they're still in Europe. And one of the branches of that family is in Florida. And it is Nick Wallenda, who lives in Sarasota with his family.
You're saying that there's a fairly significant contingency of circus people in Florida.
Well, I think, yeah, going back to the early 20th century, and maybe even before, as circuses traveled throughout the United States, they wintered. Many of them wintered in Florida. They would go down there, and they'd park their circus tent and their elephants, or whatever the hell they had, and they, and they got their act together, you know.
Yes, they just relaxed.
Yeah.
Then did the animals relax too? What do you think, man?
Yes, I'm sure the animals relaxed. Did the animals relax?
But they wintered down there. Now, what happened was, in those days, many of the circuses had the little people and the bearded lady. And a lot of those people, just like anyone, are down in Florida. And the little people, the bearded lady, the human skeleton, and they all said, boy, I really like it here in Florida. I'd like to settle down, build a home, a condo. And so today, Florida is crawling with these... Well,
you're going to say freak.
I didn't say freak, but Florida's crawling with a certain contingent of them, which makes it not a very attractive place to, well...
Margaret, what are you trying to say?
I think I said it.
Florida's crawling with circus freaks is what you're saying.
I didn't say that.
But that's what you meant.
No, that's not what I meant. What I meant to say was... Florida is... This is a positive review, Phil. This is not a negative review.
That's why it's crawling?
What is?
Florida's crawling with them.
What?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Florida right now is crawling with circus people. That's what I said.
Yeah, it's crawling with them.
So? That's not negative.
Well, now, come on. Florida's crawling with circus people, and that's not negative.
Not necessarily. There's a lot of things that crawl, Phil. Babies crawl... Oh, got you on that one.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't want to be in a town...
No, I'm sorry, bud. I got both of you. You can't. There's no comeback.
Hold on for a minute. What, bud?
Are you going to try to tell me that you don't want to be around if it's crawling with babies?
I don't care if it's crawling with babies, no.
I do.
That's hardly the point, bud. All right, so fine, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Are you giving up, or are you just letting the lady have her way?
Margaret... You're going to win no matter what. Florida does have descendants of circus people, and I believe there's even a town. Does anybody know the name of this town in Florida?
Yes, there's a town in Florida that is packed with circus, with the circus acts.
Yeah, that's when you talk about crawling with a freak.
It's not crawling with freaks. I didn't say that.
Well, there is a town in Florida, I think, that has a number of folks that are descended from the little people, for instance, and other circus employees, circus workers. You have circus. Is Circus World still around?
Man, I don't know. That was a long time. How do you know about Circus World?
How do you know about Circus World? That's a very, very closely guarded secret.
What is?
Circus World. Nobody knows about that.
Are you nuts or something, man? I was down there when Circus World was built. What do you mean a closely guarded secret?
They don't talk about Circus World anymore. Things happened, and I don't want to go any further.
What happened?
Nothing.
What happened, Margaret?
Circus World is best left untalked about.
Yeah, the freaks ran wild one night.
The freaks ran wild in a driving rainstorm.
Oh, yes. I remember seeing that movie, too.
What movie?
What movie?
Freaks!
Well, wasn't that filmed at Circus World?
No, that was filmed in California. All right.
Right.
It was. Circus World is best left untalked about. So in any event, all of this is to say that the Walendas have extended the family to America. And there was Nick Walenda yesterday. And I got to tell you something. That was one of the most amazing television events I've ever seen. I'll tell you why. Andy Levy tweeted something that I thought was absolutely dead on right. He said, you know, he said, I didn't want to see the man fall. He said, but it would almost be worth it to watch how fast all the jokes got scrubbed off of Twitter if he did, you know, because everybody was making joke after joke. And what happened was this. They interviewed Nick Walenda, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes before he eventually went out on the wire. He was dressed in jeans and a T-shirt. That was it. He had that big pole that was kind of strapped to his shoulders. And he just got right up on that wire, and before you knew it, he was beginning his walk, talking to his father, who was his, if you will, his team leader, his coach, and the only guy that he wanted to talk to. He didn't want to talk to any press. He didn't want to talk. At one point, Willie Geist was there from the Scarborough show.
Oh, that ass.
Yeah, well, Willie Geist was there. And Walenda had made the decision, I don't want to talk to anybody. They were going to be talking to the Discovery broadcast team. He said, nope. It was just him and his dad, and he was praying. And
this is the part that I find offensive.
Well, hold on, Margaret, because I'm going to finish. As he walked across the wire, he was praying. He was saying, thank you, Jesus, you are my guide, you are my strength, thank you. Please, Jesus, calm down the wind. Please, Jesus, calm this cable down. And the cable at one point was really moving, the wind was really... And as he got out across this thing, you know, he's halfway across, it took him 22 minutes and 50 seconds, I believe, to get across the Grand Canyon, 400 yards, 1,020 feet above the canyon floor.
God, man.
That's a high, that's 102 stories. And
well, how do you get 1,020?
10 feet per story.
Well.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. The point being that as he got halfway across this cable, you could hear the wind in his microphone. It's absolutely and completely unfathomable to me and probably a great many other people how a man can be halfway across a 400-yard expanse, 1,000 feet in the air, holding this this big pole, walking along this and not just lose your mind from fear. But he was doing it. Thank you, Jesus. Obviously.
Yeah, because he is praying to Jesus.
No, I think it's because he's... And I'll get into this. I think there is a certain segment of us that are just flat fearless, but he also has obviously a great deal of experience. It doesn't have a basic fear of heights like a lot of us have, and like I've got more than my fair share of. So you have this event. He's praying. He's going across. He's every 5 seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, please calm this wind. Jesus, please calm this wind. Now, gosh, you know, Jesus, at one point it got really strong, and he was like, come on, Jesus, you know, please, God, please, Father, you're my strength, you're my guide. And I can well imagine, Margaret, that there were people just like you getting all offended by all the God talk. So,
Well, I don't think it was necessary. He knew what he was doing. He didn't need all that gobbledygook.
Well, let's not be offensive, all right? We'll be right back with more on the Willenda, this marvelous spectacle yesterday. I enjoyed it. And after it was over, I reflected, and I reflected for a long time.
Well, don't start. See, you're reflecting. Does that mean you're praying?
No.
Because you're starting to get into some Jesus stuff.
Yeah, you gotta watch that.
Don't tell me to watch. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth
you're all,
is
oh,
our
reflected.
Bitch. The Phil
what
Henry Show.
I was thinking about it.
Well, it sounded like you were saying you were praying.
James McQuarters is with us. He's at Belmar Academy, which will be fielding for the very first time coming up in 2013. Belmar Academy will be fielding a hockey team playing in the California Interscholastic Federation Hockey Division. How many teams, Father?
Right now we've got, I know the Belmar, and two or three teams in the Los Angeles County area. And we'll be playing some teams from the Central Coast and playing some teams from the Fresno area. But right now, we think we've got a Southern Division. We've got 12 teams. I think it's going to be an exciting season, and we're watching the practice right now. The coach has the boys out there.
So you guys are practicing right now at...
Well, not you guys, but I'm out watching the boys, and I blessed them. The coach, Torton, told me to come out and bless the teams, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as they skate by me, I blessed them, and they're coming by now. So hold on. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Father, it's tiring. But
okay, well, Father, I don't want to interrupt you.
No. I'm fine.
Father, what did you think of Nick Willenda yesterday and his prayer and the entire event?
Well, Phil, I thought, first of all, the first thing I want to say is praise God and the great Willenda family. It was quite a feat. It was quite a wondrous feat. There's no question about it. But I felt myself was feeling drawn to the spirituality of the event was quite impressive, I think. But I also felt that that people watching on the event on television, they might get the feeling that God is at their disposal for any kind of kooky stunt. Now, I'm not saying that what was done yesterday was a kooky stunt. Now, far be it from me to say something like that. But I will tell you that there are. Is he too? A puck just came over the glass here.
Do they have their own arena there?
Who?
Your hockey team.
No. We're at Culver Skate. We're at Culver City, at the Culver Skate.
Oh, at Culver City at the ice rink.
That's right. But, Phil, the thing that worried me the most about the Willenders yesterday, as I watched the young man, Nick Willender, going across his high wire, as he was talking to Jesus, and asking for Jesus' help, and asking for the help of the Father in heaven to calm the winds down, to calm down the cable, and so forth. The thought occurred to me that there are people that are watching this, probably younger people, perhaps individuals who want to get a taste for themselves. I don't know if you remember the song by Foster, he said, "When will I get mine?" And I think there's a lot of people out there that are waiting to get theirs.
Well, what do you mean, get theirs?
I'm saying that if they see God going to extraordinary lengths to help this Willenda chap as he goes across the Grand Canyon, that they don't think that God is at their disposal for any kind of boneheaded stunt, any kind of real kooky thing, you know?
Well, I mean, when you say boneheaded stunt...
I don't know what it would be, Phil. I mean, you have to understand, I'm not a circus fan, and I've never really been one for the high wire this or the high wire that. I certainly understand what Bud was talking about when he said the trapeze there and some of these nightclubs in San Francisco. I've not been to these clubs. When I was in the seminary, we visited a few of them. So I'm all familiar with the trapeze act. Don't worry about it.
But I'm not worried about that. I'm saying that this man exhibited a profound faith.
Well, yes, he exhibited a profound faith. But what I'm telling you and what I'm telling your audience is that if people see what happened yesterday as an entree for them to go out on some boneheaded stunt, some real kooky idea, I don't know what it would be. I don't know what it would be. The man wants to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. What if you get one of these Evel Knievels? And I remember Evel Knievel. He was the motorcycle chap, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. What if you get another one of these guys who wants to jump over these buses? And I want to go over there like a 30 buses or 40 buses or whatever, Evel Knievel. And thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All the way through as he's riding his motorcycle, and goes up the ramp. And thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he goes directly down into the gas tank of one of them. Yeah.
That'd be ugly, Father.
You better believe it'd be ugly. And he's going, thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. And he's on fire. As he's rolling around trying to put himself out.
Oh, well, come on. I doubt seriously if that's... Are you blame... So what would you think?
I would think it's not a very wise thing for people to be praying to Jesus. You're putting an awful lot of pressure on God. And if you make a human error, you make a human mistake, God can only help those that help themselves. You see what I mean? God can help those that help themselves. I think that Nick Willenda yesterday, as he crossed the Grand Canyon, and he made such a spectacular and marvelous crossing of the Grand Canyon there, across on that big wire they had, the cable, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he did a wonderful job there praying to Jesus, thank you, Jesus. But if for whatever reason, God forbid, and thank God Almighty this didn't happen, the trauma to his children would have been terrible. The trauma to the children of America would have been terrible. But I said to Father Staley, because he'd lost a buddy in the army the same way, and I didn't want to say, well, what if he falls? So I had to do the sound effect. And Father Staley said, please. And I said, all right, what if... I did that, and it scared him.
Good Lord.
That's right. It scared him. So I said, I'm sorry, Father. So I tried to do it a different way. I went, whoa! And I did it so that he fell, and then you hear him hit the canyon floor and go, oof. And Father Staley, that was not so traumatic. So I said, Father Staley, what if... And he said, he laughed and said, well, what are you going to do? So that's when I knew I said something wasn't quite so traumatic. So I said, well, Father Staley, looking here at this Willenda. Now, what if he gets halfway across and, woo, oof. And Staley, he doubled over, almost peed himself. And I said, you think that's funny? He says, no, but the way you say oof is.
Now, okay, so what's the point of this?
What's the point? The point, my boy, the point is, if that man were to have fallen, the trauma that would be visited upon the people of America, the people of the earth, out of the people of the earth, the trauma would have been too much to bear.
Well, no kidding. No kidding. But that was part of the drama of watching this. Because I was saying to Dan, I'm watching this, and we have a tendency to think that something's on television, it's controlled, and there is... there is a there's an inevitability to the outcome, as if he's going to be safe and everything's going to be safe. And we don't realize that we're watching a real event here. He could fall.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to see here. I don't think so. I don't think there is any way he was going to fall.
Because of his faith in God?
No, because of his faith in the Discovery Channel. I'm kidding. Yes, because of his faith in God.
Well, what are you telling me? There's a conspiracy now?
Never mind.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, probably conspiracy.
Yeah.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
What, Margaret?
What are you chewing for?
I make Turkish coffee, and there are grounds in the coffee. I've told you this a million times. There's grounds in the coffee, okay?
Yeah, you're supposed to have grounds and no coffee.
Well, I got grounds in these coffees, okay?
Well, it just... It's weird. No one does that.
I do it. I do it. I drink a cup of coffee that has coffee grounds in it. Now, what happens is the coffee grounds drop to the bottom of the cup... And there's coffee at the top of the cup, and that's the coffee that I drink. I like that coffee.
Right, Phil, you don't have to...
Well, you guys are asking me all the time about it, and I keep telling you.
Yeah, Mr. Evans already told you about him. Yeah, what are you all of a sudden, his press spokesman?
Hey, bud, I told you guys that I make Turkish coffee. It has the grounds in it, and that's how you drink it, and that's the way it's going to be. And if I, you know, get grounds in my mouth or something, I'm not spitting them out, I'll tell you that. I'm swallowing them.
Oh, my God. Nobody in the Western world does that.
Yeah, what are you on a camel or something? I mean, what's the deal, you know?
What do you care? Am I on a camel? So, anyway, welcome back to the program. First of all, a couple of things. Now, what was the thing we were talking about? Oh, I forget now. Well, we were talking about the Willendas, but I think we've pretty much covered that. The Celtics and the Clippers have made a trade. The teams tried for days to orchestrate a swap to send Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce to Los Angeles. Rumors said the teams discussed the trade more than a week ago, but Pierce was dropped from the equation, then Garnett, in order to put through a deal sending coach Doc Rivers to the Clippers. The NBA forbids coaches from being traded, and Commissioner David Stern said he would veto a Celtics-Clippers trade that appeared to circumvent the collective bargaining agreement, a two-part trade sending Garnett to the Clippers for center DeAndre Jordan and giving the Clippers draft picks. That was a violation, so the Celtics and the Clippers took the players out of the equation, finishing a swap, sending a first-round draft pick to the Celtics for Rivers' release. Anyway, that's the latest in basketball news. I have no idea whether that's legal or not, and quite frankly, whether it'll stand up. I got to tell you something, man. The Clippers now are the team here in L.A., and I don't mean to talk so much about L.A. sports, but I'm never, ever, and that's the great thing about being me, because I just am not convinced by that stuff. I'm never going to be a Clipper fan, just like I'm not really an Angel fan. That's just the way it is. All right, here's the Bill Cowher story. The analyst and former Super Bowl-winning coach was driving on Park Avenue in New York City on Sunday when a woman driving a Ford Fusion suddenly appeared in front of him, cutting off his Mercedes. Cowher hit the woman's car before careening into some scaffolding. The 56-year-old Cowher laid a pretty good hit himself, something he would have been proud of had it been one of his defenders with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He cracked a pole and sent some construction material tumbling down, but luckily, nobody was hurt. The New York Daily News published a photo of the crash's aftermath with a laid-back Bill Cowher wearing sandals and a coral-colored T-shirt as he talked to police officers. Cowher appeared unfazed, but the incident definitely a change from his fiery demeanor on the NFL sidelines. Bill Cowher has been away from the crashes and the violence of the NFL for the last 6 years. He left the Steelers in 2007 after 15 seasons with the team, but is now an analyst for the NFL today on CBS.
Boy, they're going out of their way to make this sound interesting.
Yeah, well, it was just a fender bender, it seems, and yeah, they're bringing up his football career. There have been many rumors that Cowher is or could be getting back into coaching. The past several years, he's been reportedly offered several jobs, but turned them down to remain in the television studio with CBS. This year, as several non-playoff-bound teams fired their head coaches, Cowher emerged as a candidate. Some NFL insiders believe that Cowher is just waiting for the right opening, a team with a strong quarterback.
What's this got to do with the accident?
Yeah, who cares about this?
You're right. They're filling the story out because there's nothing to it. some lady in a Ford Fusion, I guess. I don't have any idea whether it was his problem or her problem, whether she caused it or he caused it. It was his Mercedes and her Ford Fusion, you know. And his car got hit and, according to the story, careened into some construction material. A Ford Fusion ain't that big of a car, is it?
I don't think so, no. So it sounds to me like he hit her. I think he was out of control. I think he might have been drunk.
Well, you don't know that.
Well, you've got to do something to brighten this story.
Yeah, okay, Bill Cowher was drunk and he hit this lady.
You got to sue you for slander.
Yeah. Bill Cowher, man, there's only been three coaches for the Pittsburgh Steelers and since Chuck Knoll, since 1969. Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher and now Tomlin? Is that the guy? I forget. But Cowher has been there doing that CBS job, and now he's doing the Time Warner Cable thing, and it really sucks.
Yeah, you've been saying that. Why?
Because it just stinks. I mean, it's a series of ads for Time Warner Cable, and he's playing a coach, and the people that he's coaching are the Time Warner Cable salespeople, and they all kind of look at him like he's weird, and Cowher is playing it like he really wants his team to do well. The whole thing blows, man. I mean, I swear to God, Time Warner Cable, all you're doing is making me hope for the day that, you know, wishing and praying and hoping for the day that DirecTV comes to my residence because I don't like their service, and that's where that's at. Now, we also are going to be dealing with these guys here in the forthcoming days here from the El Pacifico because we have a whole configuration that's going to be changing here. For those of you who are maybe not so much in the know, tonight is the last night of our late-night third-shift show, our 10 p. to 1 a. Pacific time show. Starting tomorrow night, our radio show originates at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And we'll start at 10 p.m. on the East Coast. Now, a lot of people have said to us, oh, boy, why are you doing that, Phil? The stations that were carrying you, they're going to get upset. I said, you know, we might as well do it and get it over with because I don't want to stay at 10 o'clock and then gradually change it to 7 and then have some stations going, wait a minute, what the hell are you doing? You just I might as well just, you know, do it and get it over with and have it be done with. So we're starting the show at 7. It will go until 10 on the Pacific Coast, 10 to 1 on the East Coast. Along with that, there's all kinds of technical configurations and things.
Well, you talk about Time Warner Cable.
Well, Time Warner Cable, is they've been our internet connection and will continue to be. We don't need, you know, a DSL connection here, man, because I'm just getting information off the internet. And as far as our call screening goes, man, we do not need a DSL line. Because our call screening is going to originate from our studio now.
Oh, it was remote.
It was remote. Our call screening was remote in Medford. Not going to do that. We're going to have the call screening here at the El Pacifico. And other things are going to originate from here. So that's where that's. And then we have our partners, Dow Global in Denver. And it's going to be. I think it's going to be as seamless as we can make it, and it's going to be as professional as we can make it, and you, the listener out there, will not get much of an indication as to anything's been changed, quite frankly. You won't know that anything has changed other than the fact that it's a new time, starting at, as I mentioned, 7 p. to 10 p. on the Pacific Coast.
Now, a lot of people are asking a question, Mr. Henry, why the time change?
The time change because we feel that we can reach more people. Quite frankly, we feel that we'll reach a larger audience. We feel that the show is still a nighttime show. We do a lot of material that is quite frankly, I think when at our best, our show is competitive with television. So I think 7 to 10 is a good time for it. And the other thing is, we're reaching more people. And the other radio needs our show right now. Radio desperately needs our show, and it needs our show at an earlier time. It needs our show at full strength. Because radio, as we mentioned, folks, I mean, and I said it earlier in the show, and I think it bears repeating, there's an article in a Variety magazine, which is the preeminent trade journal in all of entertainment. Variety covers film, it covers television, on occasion it covers radio. And it just so happens it has a column about radio this week, that radio is in deep, deep trouble. Deep, dark trouble. So that's another reason radio needs us.
Now, let's talk about the ego that it takes to make a statement.
Oh, come on, Margaret. I've been talking to you about this for weeks, okay?
But the ego, the colossal ego that it takes to make a statement like that. Radio needs you. You don't need radio?
Frankly, no, I don't.
Oh, my. Get a load of him.
What do you mean you don't?
I don't. I don't need radio. We make our living off, I told you, we make our living off the internet. We make our living off of digital. We make our living off of our archives. We make our, I mean, that's how we make our living. That's the unfortunate reality, but I'm just laying it on you. No, I don't need radio. Radio needs us. And you know what? To the extent that we can help in keeping this medium on life support, we're more than happy.
You know, Phil, I don't think a lot of people out there are going to think you're funny. I think a lot of people are going to think you've got your nose up your own, well...
Get your nose up your own R-word.
Yeah. R-word.
Yes. It starts with an R, ends with an M, and that spells trouble.
Starts with an R and ends with an...
an M. You've got your nose shoved up and twisted slightly to the left to just get the bouquet. And I think...
Okay, that's enough, Margaret.
I really think that...
Well, okay, so I got an ego. I mean, can I ask you something, folks? You can help me with this and maybe help Margaret. I'm a performer for a living. That's what I do. I perform. I'm on the radio. My name's out there. I'm, you know, talking to a whole bunch of people, right? Why wouldn't I have an ego? Why wouldn't I have a big ego? What the hell? Why would you think that guys like me don't have an ego? You're on TV. You're on radio. You're doing something like this for a living. You better have a big ego. Because when you fail or when things go wrong, man, you get your ass kicked. You got everybody talking about how much you suck. You got to have a big ego.
Well, I think it's off-putting.
Off-putting? What's that?
Oft-putting. O-F-T.
Is that a dessert or...
Pudding. P-U-T-T-I-N-G.
Yeah, that's a dessert.
No, that's spelled with a D.
It puts me off. It makes me feel as if someone is touching me with my back turned, and I have to turn around and swat their hand away from my buttocks. All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, I knew she'd be walking out sooner or later.
Be gone.
I'm not needed here anymore.
So in other words, what my ego makes Margaret feel as if someone's pinching her ass?
Yes. Thank you.
Well, then that's my ego. But I mean, the fact is, you know, radio needs my show. I don't mean it literally, but radio needs a lot of creative endeavors, and it needs a lot of creative content. And right now it has not got it, folks. It's got a whole bunch of talk shows that are political talk shows that suck. It's got, you know, some advice shows. That's it. So in any event, that's why we've moved our show up to 7 o'clock. And do I really think I'm the saving grace? I have no idea, man. We're just trying to make a living around here. Thank you very, very much. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back here closing things out. Closing things out here for this Monday night. Closing things out here for the very last of the late night third shift shows. Because tomorrow, it all begins again at 7 p. Pacific, 10 p. Eastern Time. We'll be back for the very last of the third shift segments in a moment on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we didn't mention this, but the Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup Championship, the National Hockey League Championship, the Stanley Cup, in the sixth game with their win over the Boston Bruins. That was, by the way, in Boston, a 3-2 win, their second Stanley Cup in 4 years. And I was looking here at the history of the Chicago Blackhawks. And it's a long-standing National Hockey League team, the Blackhawks are. They were one of what were at one time referred to, and I guess still are referred to, as the original six. Because the Blackhawks were a part of six teams that then expanded to 12 in 1968, I believe, when they began a very aggressive expansion, the National Hockey League did, initially with six and then adding more and more. I'm looking at division. Let's see what the Stanley Cups. The first Stanley Cup they won was in 1933-34.
What's that five mean?
I don't know. It's something, man. So, I guess it means they've won five. Yeah, 1933, 34, 37, 38, then 60, 61. And that's very interesting because that was the last Stanley Cup they won until the 2009, 2010 season and then this season. So, right smack dab in the middle of the, between the 30s and now, they had this lone Stanley Cup in Chicago. And the guy who is the legendary player, I guess, when you think of Chicago, is Bobby Hull.
Now, who's he? I've heard that name.
Yeah, Bobby Hull was a legendary Chicago Black and a legendary National Hockey League player. And he had sons that played. There's a few of them. Gordie Howe was another. Bobby Hull was another.
What about that one guy, Ebobito? Or, yeah, Morbido?
Esposito.
Yeah.
Phil Esposito, yeah, he was a Blackhawk. So Chicago's had its fair share of these standout players. They've even got a section here. I'm looking at Wikipedia, the original six era. And now they have won their fifth Stanley Cup as a professional hockey team. So I wouldn't say that they're, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, when you talk about the original six, the Montreal Canadiens are the dominant team.
Well, what about the Toronto Blue Jays?
That's a baseball team.
What about the Toronto Blue Jays? No, they're not.
Yes, they are. It's a baseball team.
What's the Toronto Maple Leaf?
The Maple Leafs is the hockey team.
What?
Are you guys nuts or something? What are you going to argue with me about it?
Phil, the Blue Jay is what?
That's a baseball team. The Toronto Maple Leafs are the hockey team.
What's the big thing about a maple leaf? That's not going to scare you.
What do you mean scare you?
Well, you know, if you have a hockey team, don't you have to be aggressive? And
yeah.
A leaf?
Oh, well, you get out of here, man. That's the symbol of Canada, okay? So they call themselves the Maple Leafs. It's like the Philadelphia Eagles, huh?
Yeah, well, eagle, you know.
Well, the eagle, you can understand something that can gouge your eyeballs out or claw your face. But a leaf, all that's going to do is stick to you.
Yeah, because of the sap.
Yeah, are you people serious?
No, we're just saying.
Phil, I'm serious to the extent that a leaf, the sap may stick to your cheek and may make you look like an ass. But an eagle can peck your eyeballs out of your skull, like it did Tippi Hedren and the birds. Well, not an eagle, but...
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at all three of you because I think you all three need to be put in a hatch, a booby hatch, with a butterfly net. You know?
Oh, right. So we're nuts because we're talking about a leaf, and you think the leaf is scary.
I don't think you name teams.
No, no. Yes or no? Is a leaf scary?
No, it's not. And I don't think you name teams necessarily for them to be scary. You name teams so that they inspire. They inspire the fans. They inspire support. The Maple Leafs, you know, long-standing Maple Leafs, right?
What are you talking about? God, it's sad.
It really is kind of sad what's happening, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, get out of here. Sad what's happened to you. Yeah, you know, an eagle can pluck your eyeballs out, but hey, a leaf, all that does is stick to you from the sap.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Well, you know something, man? I can't go there with you, all right?
And what's a New York Ranger?
The Rangers were named by... you know, I know the answer to that. The Rangers are named the Rangers because their original owner... was a guy by the name of Tex something.
Bull crap.
That's the truth. And they called them Texas Rangers, meaning Tex was the owner, and they called them the Rangers. I guess you don't believe that, huh?
No, that sounds like a load, too. I think you're coming up with load after load just to make us look like we've got to wipe our faces off after the director yells cut.
You know, Margaret, and then you look at me and you ask me why I have a filthy mind.
What?
After the director yells cut, you got to wipe your face off.
Oh, I get it.
All right.
Well, that, I'm a woman.
Yeah, you're a woman with, you know, you've got just as much of a dirty mind as anybody else. Okay, so anyway, congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks for their win and way to do it, baby. So they'll be having a big victory parade there. They had the victory parade for the Miami Heat today in Miami. And from judging from the tweets that I was reading, it was a hot mother. In Miami, apparently, the victory parade that was going through the city there, people were sweating their their asses off, and the entire thing was a summer parade. It's a little too late in the year, man, for basketball and hockey. I just think that they got to wrap it up sooner, man, because it's goofy. All right, so as we mentioned, this is our very, very last third shift, but we aren't going anywhere. We are going to see you guys tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Pacific. Please check our website for our affiliates. Make sure that you are over on our website to see which affiliates we have. We will make regular announcements as to affiliates that we're signing. We'll make regular announcements as to the different cities that we're in, different cities that maybe we haven't been in the past that we are going to be in now. And overall, we'll be staying in touch with you by way of philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And we'll be staying in touch with you by way of Facebook. That's facebook.com/philhenryfans, P-H-A-N-S. And we're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry. But tomorrow night, join us for our new time, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, the Phil Henry Radio Network. And until then, this is Phil Henry saying, let that be a lesson to you. And thank you, Dan Northcraft, for all your great support, brother.
Phil Henry.